This session will cover food allergies, and here we're talking about IgE-mediated food allergies in adults, which is the most common cause, or which is most commonly caused by peanuts, crustaceans, tree nuts, and fish. Sensitivities to these foods tend to be lifelong, and multiple food allergies are rather rare in adults. Anaphylactic signs and symptoms occur minutes to 2 hours after ingestion. So here we're going to be concerned primarily with three things: the differential diagnosis, the actual diagnosis, and then the treatment, which overlaps with anaphylaxis to a significant extent. First, the things that you're going to want to distinguish away, and we're going to be focused on four things here. First, you're going to want to distinguish away eosinophilic gastroenteritis. Second, you're going to want to distinguish away anaphylaxis due to other causes, even though the treatment is going to overlap regardless of whether or not anaphylaxis is the eventual diagnosis. Third, you're going to want to distinguish away food poisoning, which includes scromboid, which is poisoning that you can get from spoiled fish, and here histamine is going to be the main irritant. And finally, what you're going to want to distinguish away is non-allergic food intolerance, and here we're talking about lactase deficiency, celiac disease, or symptoms due to vasoactive amines. So what does the diagnosis look like, the actual diagnosis, now that we've gone through the differential? Well, here you're going to be looking for positive allergy skin tests, or RAS tests, to the food antigen. You're going to be watching out for double-blind placebo-controlled food challenge if the diagnosis is unclear. And finally, you're going to watch out for anaphylaxis, which can be confirmed with elevated serum tryptophase if the test is conducted 30 minutes to 3 hours after the reaction. So what does the treatment look like? Well, three things need to be noted. First, you're going to want to eliminate the implicated food from the diet. Second, you're going to want to ensure patient access to injectable epinephrine. And third, you're going to want to treat anaphylaxis in an acute setting. And again, I have a previous recording on anaphylaxis, but if you don't want to toggle over to that video, here's the treatment for anaphylaxis. So you're going to be looking out for at least six things, and you're going to want to consider at least three more. So the first thing that you're going to look out for is epinephrine. And here you're going to want to administer that in a 1 to 1,000 ratio, 0.3 milliliters IM, and you're going to repeat that every 15 minutes as needed. Second, you want to maintain the patient airway, and that's going to involve provision of oxygen, inhaled bronchodilators, and intubation if necessary. Third, you want rapid IV fluids if the patient is hypotensive. Fourth, you want corticosteroids, and here we're talking about prednisone, 60 milligrams or its equivalent, administered IV, IM, or PO, and you're going to want to reduce late-phase recurrence of symptoms 4 to 8 hours later. Fifth, vasopressor medications in the presence of persistent hypotension should be provided. And finally, diphenhydramine can be provided, 50 milligrams IV, IM, or PO. Now, as it pertains to epinephrine, but here we're talking about IV and not IM, that should only be provided to terminal patients and in the following quality, at a 1 to 10,000 ratio, 0.3 milliliters. Now, those are the things that you need to absolutely have, but you should consider glucagon and or atropine for patients on beta blockers whose symptoms are refractory to therapy. Patients should be monitored for 8 to 12 hours after the reaction occurs, and you should ensure that patients have access to injectable epinephrine and antihistamines on discharge. And that covers this short and sweet session on food allergies.